Conspiracy theories have always been with us, but lately they're on the rise as many conspiracy theories have found to be conspiracy facts. How should a Catholic approach these theories? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, I just want to encourage people to smash that like button and to subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate everybody who has done so. That helps the algorithm tell other people about us. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag at all the major social media channels. There, I can speak today. Okay, so today we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. Now, conspiracy theories are something that have always been with us. I know growing up long, long ago, we had conspiracy theory of what kind of dinosaur really ruled. No. Okay. So seriously, when growing up, the major conspiracy theory I can remember is the JFK assassination. There was the movie Oliver Stone made, I think, I want to say it was in the early 90s or so, but it was already talked about before that. And there have been documents unclassified in recent years that show that there was a conspiracy, probably the CIA behind it, to assassinate JFK. But when I was younger, when I was a teenager in early 20s, it was definitely considered a wacky conspiracy theory. In fact, when Oliver Stone's movie came out, that gave it some legitimacy on the one hand, but it also made it like, well, Oliver Stone's kind of crazy. So it continued to be a conspiracy theory. Another conspiracy theory from my own lifetime, that's a big deal, of course, is 9/11. Remember after 9/11 happened, the narrative, the story was given and everybody accepted it. And I don't know how many years later it was, but I remember I somehow stumbled upon a YouTube video. This would have been maybe 5 years later, something like that. It definitely wasn't early on. It was probably 5 to 8 years later. I watched a video that explained how it was actually not what we were told, that the World Trade Center did not collapse because of a plane hitting it, but because of a controlled demolition, I think it was. And they gave all these reasons why. I can't remember if they even said who they thought it was. I think they probably just assumed it. I think it was the U.S. government. Anyway, that was a big conspiracy theory, still is. In fact, I think Ramaswamy, the guy running for president, GOP, he suggested something about that there might have been Saudi backing of 9/11, and that's gotten him in some hot water with the mainstream media. And it was interesting because he wasn't saying it was an inside job. He wasn't saying the CIA did it or George Bush knew about it ahead of time or anything like that. He simply said that there's documents have been uncovered that show that the Saudis were actually at least if not behind it, or at least backing it, or had some interest in it. And so that's another conspiracy theory that has been very popular. I know the one that always kind of makes me chuckle, I admit, is I see this on Twitter every once in a while, that Michelle Obama is actually a man. And people saying, oh, you've never seen a picture of her pregnant or, you know, nursing her kids or anything like that. I honestly don't really think much about that one. I saw that one the other day when I was making my notes for this, and I thought I'd bring it up because I think that was kind of a funny one. And so typically, though, our culture here in America has been one that dismisses conspiracy theories out of hand. That if the official narrative has been given by the mainstream media, by the government, most people accept it. And those who don't accept it and start to create theories of what actually happened are dismissed as tinfoil crazy people. That is the norm. And I will be the first to say that was always the norm for me. When I think it's just my personality, my parents, my dad particularly, very much would not buy into that type of stuff. And so I also would dismiss it. Now, I will say, even maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started to see more things that I thought, well, maybe there are some problems here as I got to be more suspicious of the government. For example, the creation of the Federal Reserve, things of that nature, I started to see, okay, there's a lot they don't tell us in the history books about what happened, about how the Fed works and things like that. But generally, I've been more, I'm definitely on the more skeptical side of conspiracy theories. However, in the last couple years, we have seen conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory later confirmed. Not only confirmed, but the same people who were calling it a crazy conspiracy theory a couple years later were reporting it like that's what they always believed. This was especially true, of course, with COVID. But because of this, there's like a cottage industry of conspiracy theories. Almost everything has now become a conspiracy theory. I'm just thinking, I would say COVID obviously accelerated it as it accelerated everything. But I would say the election of Trump was a big one in 2016, because Hillary Clinton, remember, we tend to forget this. We're not told, reminded of this. She denied the legitimacy of that election. She believed that that election was stolen by Donald Trump, probably through the work of the Russians. I mean, she still this day believes that the 2016 election was illegitimate. And so that's a major conspiracy theory right there. And then the whole Russiagate, the whole 4 years of going after Donald Trump for supposedly being in bed with the Russians, which has been proven to not be true. But that's a conspiracy theory of the left that allows people to that a lot of people accepted. But then, of course, it was found to be false. The 2020 election obviously has a lot of conspiracy theories connected to it. The idea that Trump actually won, that the election was stolen. I mean, you had Trump's people and Trump saying that they have proof that it was stolen and they are going to show why it was. They, of course, did not do that, at least in a court of law. But a lot of people this day believe that the 2020 election was stolen. And there is definitely, I mean, here's the thing about conspiracy theory. One that gains a lot of traction typically does have some reality attached to it. If you said giant green monsters were roaming the streets of Washington, D.C. as we speak, that, and the government's covering it up, that theory is not going to get very far because we can just see with our eyes it's not true. But conspiracy theories that have some connection to truth, at least some, typically gain more traction, like the 2020 election theories surrounding that. Of course, the thing with the most conspiracy theories connected to it is COVID, the pandemic, the response, the origins of COVID, the safety of the vaccines, the connection to the 2020 election, even now the connection to the 2024 election. There's talk about instituting more mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and some people are saying this is just in time for the 2024 election because now we're starting to get primaries, debates, and things like that. And so there's a lot of discussion about conspiracy theories surrounding COVID. Now, what's interesting about this is, like I said, a lot of it, in fact, I'm a little bit nervous that I'm not 100% sure what YouTube allows us to say right now when it comes to these conspiracy theories, because I know over time they've allowed ones that they didn't used to allow, they kick you off for, they now allow. But I know, like, for example, early on in the COVID pandemic, some were claiming that it was a lab leak at the Wuhan Institute or whatever it's called in Wuhan, China. And that was dismissed as just craziness, crazy theory. And that the United States was funding research there in China that led to the lab leak, that led to COVID. Now, however, I'm pretty sure we're allowed to say that. If we're not, I'm not really saying that, YouTube. I don't know. How can I break out of the algorithm on this one? But what now, I mean, Jon Stewart had a whole joke that he did about that was, I think it was in like May or something of 2022, I believe it was, you know, 2 years afterwards, where he was basically suggesting, yeah, of course it was a lab leak. Now, remember, if you said that 2 years before, you were eliminated from social media, you were considered a kook, and now it's just kind of mentioned like, haha, isn't that funny? And it's allowed to be said. And because of that, conspiracy theories gain more traction. And that makes sense. if the government says you have to believe this, and this is definitely a conspiracy theory, not true, and then a year later, they acknowledge, yeah, it is true. Well, then naturally, the next time they say it's a conspiracy theory and not true, then you're going to at least be skeptical of what they're saying, right? You're at least going to be like, okay, do I really think this? I mean, is this really true or not? I'm going to at least look into it. And we see this now with everything. Obviously, September 11th, I talked about January 6th, about did they allow the protesters in? Was this all a setup? I mean, things of that nature. I mean, I know Tucker Carlson just interviewed the security chief or something like that from that day where they talk about this. There is the UFO sightings that the government's now saying, yeah, there really have been some UFO sightings, or some people in the government are saying that. That, of course, is getting conspiracy theories on both sides. You get one side saying, see, we told you there was UFOs. We told you there's aliens walking among us. And now the government's acknowledging it. Another side, people are saying, see, I told you the government's trying to create diversions, distractions to keep us from the important things by saying that there's actually UFOs. Get us talking about that, and we forget about all the scandals in the Biden administration. Either way, it's a conspiracy theory. And we see it also in the Catholic world. There are definite conspiracy theories connected to the election of Pope Francis, whether or not it was a valid election, whether or not there was a concerted effort to elect him that was in some way against canonical rules. And so some people who deny that Francis is a pope, they base their argument on the fact they believe that the 2013 conclave was illegitimate. And that's a conspiracy. So we have these conspiracies all around us, and we have them happening. I mean, it's rapid fire. Every major news story, it seems to me, engenders talk of conspiracy theories. We see with the fires in Maui. We saw all the fires the terrible tragedy that's going on over there. Well, literally within the first day, I was seeing people on Twitter or X, whatever we want to call it. That's a conspiracy theory that he changed it to X, I say. And so the Maui fires, there was talk the day after that this was somehow a concerted effort to, I can't even remember. I didn't really follow it that closely, I'll be honest. But I think it was like the rich were buying up some territory. Their houses weren't destroyed and the poor were. And this was all planned ahead of time. And it was allowed, or at least it was allowed to happen on purpose. And so I saw a lot of people worked up about that. That here we have another conspiracy. And it's the Maui fires. And then of course, in the Catholic world, we had the discussion about the moon landing being faked. Taylor Marshall brought this up, and it became a whole discussion on Twitter about was the moon landing faked or not. And then there's already a lot of conspiracies about the 2024 election, whether or not are we even going to have an election, whether or not we're going to, whether or not it's just basically already determined that Biden will be the next president, that the GOP nominee, whether it be Trump or somebody else, has no real chance. Whether or not we'll even have the election, or whether they will create a emergency that will shut down the election and make it so we just basically continue to have Biden, or they do some mailing campaign that basically they can just manipulate to their desires. So we have this situation where they're everywhere around us, and they're coming at us even more fast and furious. This ain't Alex Jones's world anymore. I mean, it used to be Alex Jones was the guy you go to for conspiracy theories, and he was kind of alone by himself. Now, some of the things he has said in the past have been proven to be just whack job craziness. But some of the stuff he said has proven to be true. In fact, I think he said recently that they were planning on reinstituting mask mandates, and all of a sudden we see that happening. So it's no longer, it's mainstream to be outside the mainstream. With these conspiracy theories, it's mainstream anymore. Especially, I notice in the Catholic world, I'm seeing it more and more. We have these conspiracy theories. So, what should we as Catholics? How should we evaluate these? Our Lord tells us to be as wise as serpent and innocent as doves. We should look at these things with our reason and with the eyes of faith. We are not simply political participants in Americans in that sense. We are Catholics first and foremost. And so we should look at these things with the eyes of faith, but also using our reason. Faith and reason combined, we should be using to look at this. Now, I want to start off by when I talk about how Catholics should approach these theories, by saying there was a conspiracy theory right at the beginning of our religion, right at the foundations of our faith. I'll pull it up here for us to look at. This is from Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. This is after the resurrection. It says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place, meaning the resurrection. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So he took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Again, this is from Matthew 28. So we see right here at the foundations of Christianity, at the resurrection, we see a conspiracy theory that Matthew is peddling. So if we're just going to say everybody peddles a conspiracy theory is crazy, we have to say St. Matthew and the sacred scriptures are crazy. Because what they're claiming is, they're saying, you know, the what Matthew is saying is the government, basically the rulers, created this false story to discredit the resurrection. That's exactly what happened too. So if, imagine you're a Jew at this time living in Palestine, and it's a month after the resurrection. You meet a Christian who tells you about Jesus Christ. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that guy, Jesus. He was killed. He's a criminal. And the Christian says to you, oh, but he is risen. And you immediately say, oh, he's not risen. I know he isn't, because the governor said that his disciples just came by night and stole him away while the guards were asleep. The guards have testified to this themselves. So we know this isn't true, because our rulers have made it clear this is not true. That's, if you're the Christian, how do you defeat that at that moment? You're the crazy conspiracy theorist. And the Jew is the mainstream normal person. Yet we know now who was right, who was telling the truth, who knew the truth. And that, of course, was the Christian. So as a Catholic, you can't simply dismiss conspiracy theories just out of hand. And here's another thing as a Catholic you can't do. You can't trust those in power. You should always have a certain skepticism towards those in power. If we look at the history of Catholicism, we see we always have an uneasy relationship with power. Yes, at the heights of Christendom, we controlled the states. There were still things that went on behind scenes that were not good. But fundamentally, we are not of this world. And so the world will hate us, as St. John tells us in his gospel. The world will hate us because they hated him first. And so therefore, we should always be a bit skeptical to the official line given to us by the government. This is not something we should always accept, or by the powers that be, whether it be the government or their minions in the media or what have you, because we are not of this world. So that's the first thing. And secondly, when it comes to conspiracy theories, it's okay to have some kooky ideas. I know I have some. I have some thought beliefs about certain things that have happened that I'm sure the mainstream would think I'm kind of crazy. I mean, sometimes even when I'm hanging out with my family, my extended family, I might bring them up every once in a while, and I'm sure they just kind of chuckle and dismiss me as being a little bit out there. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and here's the thing. I might believe them be true, but I'm not like staking my life on it. I'm not saying they're proven to the point of being beyond a shadow of doubt that and everybody must accept it. I mean, my thoughts on the Fed are a great example. I mean, I know the average person in America would think I'm crazy in my thoughts on the Fed and what they did to the gold standard and things like that. Yet, you know, I think that I do believe that. I also think there's a real good chance, for example, the FDR knew about Pearl Harbor before Pearl Harbor was bombed. That's considered kooky by most people. But I kind of think that's true. So I'm not saying that's another thing. It's not that we shouldn't, we can't have any kooky ideas. That's not against the faith to think some things about the way what has happened in history and to think it's not the way we were taught. And it's understandable to have these thoughts about conspiracy theories because of so many have been proven to be true. And like I say, we know the government does lie to us. We have case after case after case of the government lying to us. And here's another thing. There's reasons to believe a lot of these conspiracy theories because we've lost trust in institutions. There's a reason a certain number of Catholics don't accept the conclave of 2013 because we've lost a great deal of trust in our leaders, our Catholic leaders. And so we're automatically going to be suspicious. I guarantee that when Pope Francis dies, there will be conspiracy theories about the next conclave. I don't care who is elected. If it's the next Pius, you know, if it's Pius the 13th, some uber trad, you know, they pick like Archbishop Schneider or something like that. There will be conspiracy theories on the left about why it's an invalid election. And if they pick Francis the second, there'll be conspiracy theories on the other side. That's just the way it is because we don't trust the institutional leaders. And the same thing is true of the government. There is this great loss of trust. And I mean, for example, a perfect example of this is what happened, you know, with former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. He was at the highest levels of power in the church for years and years, and he was a monster, and they knew he was a monster, and they did nothing about it. You cannot convince me that Pope Francis did not know on some level that Cardinal McCarrick was an evil man. He knew it on some level. I think he didn't care because it was still something McCarrick could still be used for his purposes. I'm not saying he knew everything. I'm not saying he knew the depths of what McCarrick did, but I feel confident. Again, it's something that, you know, I can't prove without a shadow of doubt, but I do believe that. And so when we see that, we're naturally not going to trust, and we shouldn't trust people who are not trustworthy. People have been shown to not be trustworthy. We should not trust them. And you know, in fact, Archbishop Vigano, who is the one who helped really break the McCarrick story. I mean, he didn't break it, but he is the one who confirmed it at the high. He was the highest level official who confirmed it. He's become somewhat of a conspiracy theorist lately. And so do you blame him after he saw on the inside what they did with McCarrick? I'm not a huge fan of Vigano. People who follow me on Twitter would know this. At the same time, I get that when you're at that high level and you see what's going on, you tend to not really have a high level of trust. I get that. I want to say, though, that there is a danger in chasing conspiracy theories. So I titled this podcast, Chasing Conspiracy Theories. Well, I don't think it's dangerous to hold some kooky ideas like I do. I think it's, in fact, good to be skeptical of the government and institutional narratives, often suspicious of them. I think there's a danger here. And the danger of chasing conspiracy theories, always looking for different conspiracy theories, I think is ultimately a form of Gnosticism. The Gnostics, that comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And it was this idea that they knew something. They were the elect that knew something that most people didn't know. And that special knowledge gave them a leg up, so to speak, spiritually. It allowed them to have a higher level of spiritual connection than somebody who did not have that knowledge. And I see this a bit in the conspiracy theory world, which I admit I dabble in. The idea that, okay, we have this special knowledge. We know what really happened on 9/11. We know what really happened on January 6th. We know what really happened, Pearl Harbor. We know what really happened, JFK assassination. We know what really happened in Wuhan, and on and on and on and on. We know what happened with the Hunter Biden story. We know what happened, you know, all these things. We know what happened in Maui. All of these this knowledge, I worry that it gives Catholics who follow this very closely a certain level of Gnostic superiority, that they know what others do not know, and that this knowledge will somehow protect them or help them or save them, when really they could be completely wrong about that, and it really doesn't matter ultimately. I also think it the more you get into it, the more gullible you become and more you can be manipulated. And I see over and over again on Twitter when you say something that is established in the science or whatever, you will immediately get people who say, yeah, but they were completely wrong about COVID. So for example, I have said before that I think the universe is billions of years old. I'm not a young earth creationist. And I think there's a lot of science to defend that position. I think there's overwhelming, much more science to defend that position than the young earth position. Now, no, I do not think that if you believe the earth is 6,000 years old, somehow you're a bad Catholic, or that is somehow not allowed by Catholicism. It absolutely is allowed, as is believing the earth is very old. But the problem is that the argument that, well, because the science, i.e. Fauci and others, were wrong about COVID in so many ways, therefore, all of science is therefore wrong about something like the age of the universe, that is just does not follow. The fact is that science is always developing, always learning more. It gets a lot of things wrong, and it gets a lot of things right, though. I mean, if you look at the history of science, it has gotten tons of things wrong. But at the same time, I wouldn't be talking to you on this podcast over the internet through a webcam if not for science getting things right. And so therefore, we have to acknowledge, we have to recognize that just because the science gets some things very wrong doesn't mean science is always wrong. That's not a good argument. And in fact, it makes us gullible to some crazy theories. And I do think it's true that this can harm our witness. I planned this podcast last week, and yesterday Trent Horn did a podcast where he talked about a little bit about some of these topics. He was mostly addressing some other things, but he kind of mentions this, and he quotes St. Augustine. It is a common quote: the idea that our witness can be harmed when we are manipulated and gullible too much to crazy ideas. St. Augustine talked about this when talking about the creation of the world, which is kind of what we're talking about a little bit here. The idea that if you are too quick to believe and promote things that are contrary to scientific discovery, people will think you are not able to reason well, and therefore your reasons for being Catholic are called into suspicion. And again, it's not to say we aren't necessarily going to believe things that most people don't believe and that we won't be ridiculed for. It is to say, though, that if we get too much into the conspiracy theory world, we do start accepting some things that, frankly, are not, they're not credible. They make us look loony. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I mean, I know I look loony. I mean, here's the thing. To the average American, if they heard all my opinions, which I've spouted off on this podcast and at Crisis and elsewhere, they would think I'm loony. I don't mind being thought of as being loony. I've been called worse all the time. The problem is I only want to be called loony because I am proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, not because I believe some bizarre theory about Pearl Harbor or about the moon landing or whatever. And so I really think that we have to have this balance. And here's what I would say is the important thing. We have to recognize how much the conspiracy theory matters to our lives. So, for example, at this point, whether or not Pearl Harbor was known by FDR beforehand or not is ultimately irrelevant to my life, to my faith, to the faith of my loved ones, to their lives, and to just about anybody. yes, maybe it would, if it was proven to be true that FDR knew beforehand, we'd have a little more healthy suspicion of government officials when they try to bring us into war. Okay. I mean, like, here, that, you know, to bring up more, this isn't even conspiracy theory anymore, but the whole push to show that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, which was all a lie. I think it's good that people know that, because now when we try to gin up new lies for new wars, we'll be more suspicious of them, more likely to not accept them. So it's not to say we don't like look into some stuff, but ultimately they don't matter. Most of them don't matter that much. The JFK assassination, the same way. The moon landing, definitely the same way. All these different conspiracy theories, how much do they matter to our lives? And that's what we have to focus on, because you get in a state of agitation otherwise. We're supposed to be at peace. We're supposed to be at peace. Not that we don't recognize the evil and the corruption and the scandal in this world. I mean, I've talked about that enough in this podcast. I think you know where I stand on that. But we have to be at peace. We can't be anxious. Like, and I honestly, the whole inspiration for this podcast was the Maui fires, when I saw people throwing out conspiracies on day one about it. And I just felt like, how does that help you any? How is that in any way something? I mean, Catholics throwing them out. How does that in any way really help grow in the faith or help others grow in the faith to be speculating about this on day one? If it's found later, I mean, something like that. Yeah, people who are responsible should be held accountable and all that. But ultimately, fires over in Hawaii don't impact me on whether or not they were planned or allowed to spread or whatever. And so I shouldn't get worked up about that. And so we shouldn't let our life be filled with conspiracy theories. Most don't impact us directly. Some do matter. I mean, like, for example, the COVID one impacted all of us directly. It impacted our ability to go to mass. Like, for example, the fact that all the things they said about COVID, all the remodeling was false, was wrong, kept us from going to mass for over a month and greatly impacted people's faith. Lots of people left the church after that happened. So that does matter. So I'm not saying we live in this blissful ignorance and we don't ever care about this stuff. Like, the COVID stuff matters very much. Now, whether or not it was a lab leak or not matters less than the efficacy of the vaccines, because that really directly impacts the vaccine mandates, which then impacts your ability to keep a job and things of that nature. So we need to look at this with reason and with calmness and rationality. Like, okay, what really matters? And focus on that and not get distracted by every single conspiracy theory that runs down the pike. Ultimately, our salvation is what's most important. It's our salvation that's what matters. And so any conspiracy theory that really does not touch upon that, we can believe them, but we should not make them a major part of our life. We should not make them something that we're spending hours on the internet trying to confirm and finding evidence for and things like that. Like, I'll use my example one more time about Pearl Harbor. Yeah, I think FDR probably knew about Pearl Harbor beforehand. I'm not going to spend hours on the internet going down a rabbit hole trying to prove that. Ultimately, I don't care that much. And that's kind of the attitude we have to have about a lot of these conspiracy theories that are not really tying into our salvation, our ability to raise our kids, and things of that nature. Okay, I think I'm going to end it there. I just want to encourage people to be sound in their judgment, to recognize that, yes, our institutions have failed us and they lie to us, but not let that consume us and give us an anxiety that keeps us from drawing closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's it for today, everybody. Until next time, God love you.